You're entering the MSP Zone, a podcast for the managed services community, covering news, analysis, and interviews from around the globe. Elevate your MSP game by staying in the MSP Zone. And now, your host, Charles Weaver.
Welcome to the MSP Zone, where we talk all things managed services all the time, every day. Every day we record. Today we are talking about a topic we've touched on in the past, but we're going to take a slightly different approach to this topic, and that is the skills gap, the people gap, the skills gap as well. And they're kind of two different issues, right? One is people, one is the skills and the talent and the experience that they have, and how that is impacting not only the global fight on cybersecurity, but how it's impacting MSPs and how they go to market. And quite frankly, you know, not all of it's bad news. It's actually, I think, some good outcomes from this type of a trend that bode quite well for the MSP global community at large. So we're going to talk about all of that. And we've got some good data and some good perspective. Joining us for the first time, Chris Haas, who is head of information security and IT for Automox. Chris, welcome to the MSP Zone.
Hey, thanks, Charles. Happy to be here.
All right. So I know a lot of our members might already know you guys, but there's a huge community out there globally who may not be aware of Automox. What is it that you guys mm-hmm. do?
Yeah, so we're essentially a cloud-native IT operations solution. So we specialize in patch management, secure configuration, and vulnerability remediation. So we play pretty nicely with tools like Qualys, Rapid7, Tenable, but really being able to automate as many actions on an endpoint, all from a cloud-native agent-based solution that is plays really nicely in the MSP space.
So, you're not an MSP, but you do some things that could be considered managed services, I suppose. I don't know if is that fair, or would you not accept that title?
We have a professional services arm, but we're really just a SaaS provider, a software provider. So our platform allows IT engineers to be able to manage the IT orchestration, automation, and cyber hygiene for your fleet completely cloud natively. So fits really well in the remote space, and it kind of leverages an easy way to gain visibility for MSPs to be able to utilize our tool within their customers' environments.
Got it. Okay, perfect. And we'll get more at the end of the show on how people can interact with you guys and check you guys out. I want to dive right into the topic today, which it's not a new topic. We've talked about this for a while, which is technology. The managed services space has generally been comprised of you need good technology, you need good process, but lastly, you can't do any of that without people. And
absolutely,
people, in a one-to-many business model, people and diversity of skill set and experience and training really are critical. I think every MSP knows that, but we're in unique times right now. How would you kind of describe the people pinch, if I can call that we're living through today?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's an interesting time that we live in, especially in terms of comes to staffing, making sure you have qualified folks from an IT and security perspective. I've been in security most of my career. It's been an issue since the day that I kind of stepped into security in general, of just finding qualified people to be able to fit kind of the needs for many of your corporations or organizations or vendors and software providers to be able to fill those positions, because it's kind of a very niche field, right? Security is a niche field, and a lot of times you'll see some overlap between IT and security. IT often, most small businesses or smaller organizations, their IT team will double as their security team. And it's a pretty natural transition from folks that have been in the IT space to then transition to security because they have that strong foundational knowledge of IT and how systems kind of work together. And I think that now, as we see this continued modernization and distributed workforce and digital transformation, it demands kind of new needs. And it also adds a ton of complexity into your normal day-to-day job, right? It's not as much as people just coming in to the office. You connect to the standard network. You have an IT department on a single floor, and then people just kind of bring you problems on that floor. It's a very much more complicated landscape of technology. Is very much more complicated from having visibility, things like that. So it's very difficult. You have to find people that are very technical, also very driven to be able to learn new things, because the amount of technology that's coming into the space is almost it's almost impossible to keep up with the growing technology trends and leveling up that skill set. So you have to find very, very highly motivated individuals that continue to kind of up-level their skills. And then it's also, you know, part of the vendors or the company's or organization's job or to be able to continue to invest in their people. I think right now it's kind of hard to find companies willing to invest in training, you know, maybe their entry-level IT folks to get them to that next level. So we see this big gap. We see a lot of folks in the early stage. We see a lot of entry level people trying to get into the IT and into the security space. You see a lot at the entry level. You don't see many in the in between, and you see a lot of folks that have been doing it for a long time. So there's really like this skills gap for those that have done it before, but aren't crazy expensive for those companies to bring them on. So we really have that crunch right there in the middle.
And it's not just skills gap. I mean, it's both. It's skills. It's yep. People, but it's also people who have the right training and the right experience. And that's got to be a double whammy almost.
Yeah, that definitely contributes to that double. Yeah, it's double whammy is a good example, right? I think it's not just, you know, having the amount of people. It's also maintaining their skill sets while they're at a company, right? We still have to, once you've gotten the right person into the field or into that position, you really have to, as a company, to reinvest into them to continue to kind of keep them motivated to continue to learn, because technology is not going to start or not going to stop progressing. There's always going to be new technologies, and folks are going to have to spend time to learn those, to utilize them to your benefit. So it definitely is a double whammy there, where, you know, it's difficult to get into the space. Then once you get in the space, you absolutely have to work very hard to stay current on technologies.
So we're going to talk a little bit later on in the program about how do we solve this. But I kind of want to set this up as I know we here on this program, Chris, I'm sure you and your team, you know, and many other organizations out there have been addressing, communicating, you know, bringing awareness to the MSPs about this problem, but it's not all a negative. And I'm drawn to this one point here. There's a Deloitte 2022 survey that Deloitte did on, a group of CEOs, and they said 71% of CEOs that they surveyed rated the labor and skills shortage as on their top three issues that they face. If those are just, you know, non-MSP, just generic, you know, industry executives who are saying that that's a key issue, I would think that speaks directly to the strengths and one of the main value adds of working with an MSP. True?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think as it becomes more and more difficult for companies to be able to hire folks or retain skilled folks, it kind of really pushes the need to be able to reach outside of an org to bring in a service to kind of do that work. And it can really help in a lot of different ways, from bringing the MSP to kind of do certain jobs or take over a certain task for an organization to run those services, right? I mean, one will bring in expertise. There's few individuals working that there's a lot of individuals that work for MSPs that are incredibly talented and technical, because they have to be, because they're working across many different environments. They've seen all kinds of different things. They're working with different tooling and technologies all the time. So they're kind of forced to kind of, up-level that skill. So that's one huge positive to working with the MSP, because they've probably seen your problem before and they don't have to reinvent the wheel. They've already probably found out a way to fix that solution. And CEOs, as you can imagine, or even just any executive leadership, they don't want to have wasteful spend, and they don't want, they may not have the time for the business to be able to train and up level their folks that they brought in, or try to rack your head around certain problems. So that's one way MSP makes a pretty big difference, is they typically have highly technical skilled folks that have seen all kinds of different things, that are current on technologies, because they have to be, because each environment is very different, and that they can really kind of step in and take care of whatever level of triage of what you're trying to do, to then give your current team, if you have a team internally, give them a little bit of a break, right? That gives them that time to be able to spend more of their cycles, more of their focus on up-leveling their skills. So, employing an MSP to kind of take over a certain area of your IT or security needs is incredibly impactful.
Yeah. You do anything for a long period of time and you kind of forget the fundamentals. And I remember, 20 plus years ago interviewing an MSP CEO who kept talking about the deep bench that they had as an MSP. And that was one of the value adds, even in the early 2000s, of why they as an MSP were quite valuable and how they were selling themselves to customers. Mm-hmm. That I'm thinking just about the average sized MSP on their technical side, they have to be looking at a very diverse set of tools internally, a unique process, and they're seeing challenges, solving problems that internal IT, as good as they are, I'm not shortchanging that, but they just don't have the exposure to the types of, experience that an MSP technician is getting. Is that a fair statement?
I think so. I think it's a fair statement, because you only know what you know, right? You only have worked on things that you've had an opportunity to work on those things. So if you spent a lot of time at an organization, typically you're not rotating technologies at a rapid pace or seeing a vast majority of security solutions or IT solutions in place and having hands-on experience with each one of those things, right? So a lot of times you can kind of get that siloed kind of mentality. And with the MSP, it's not really possible. They really have to be ingrained with many different solutions at all different times and understand at a very core fundamental area what this tool should be used. The other thing is MSPs can typically cut right through the marketing, right? Because they're using the product. They know exactly what that product is useful for. And they're not going ahead and trying something out because they've already know exactly how that's utilized within the organization. They already have those answers for their customers when they're asking about how do I set up said tool? How do I administrate this? What's the most efficient way to get the job done? And I think that's really the biggest advantage that you have, is just not having to, reinvent the wheel and having a trusted advisor, right? That's one thing that I really rely on in my position, is making sure that, in our program, where are we at in comparison to other industry standards? How are we setting this up? Is this efficient? Am I giving my company the most productivity gain while also, having the right level of security in place? And it's difficult for you to know that unless you have worked at a lot of different places, seen it over and over again. But having an MSP that's seen it before, seen and has different playbooks for certain organizations and the way certain organizations are structured, can really help tighten up your organization and really give you a good idea of where you should go in the future.
Yeah, and should you be an MSP out there listening, which chances are you probably are, if you think, the skills gap doesn't really, that's more of a margin thing. It's more of a, how much can you scale? It's directly speaking to the security angle, which is there's a 2022 Fortinet study, and 80% of organizations suffered one or more breaches that they attributed to a lack of cybersecurity skills and or awareness. Now, that that's training, but it's also speaking, because I know Fortinet sells to the channel, but that could be both MSPs and probably largely end users that they're surveying there. Again, speaks to the value of the MSP being able to backfill the lack of internal technical security people that that just everyday organizations don't have today.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a very good point. You know, just like IT with having that skills gap, security definitely has that skills gap. And it's really important for most organizations to leverage, you know, their security vendors or their security service providers to be able to kind of pick up that that lack of skills that you have maybe in an organization, for sure. I think that you've seen a lot of MSPs out there to be able to run and manage SOCs and run and manage their security programs and things like that, to be able to, you know, quickly and efficiently respond to alerts and identify and triage incidents. And if you don't have the funds to staff in a SOC internally, or you don't have the funds to really hire on extremely quality security engineers within your organization, really the only option you have is to look outwards, right? And that's really where there's a lot of good value from bringing out an MSP.
Yeah. No doubt. Great advice. I want to talk briefly about maybe start talking about this, the how to solve this issue. And I go back to periods of national crisis, right? Like periods of war where you would, you know, even in this country where, well, I guess maybe even better example would be in England during the lead up to World War II, when they had a vast shortage, not only of planes, but of pilots, right? They didn't have anybody who could fly the planes and defend the country. And so they took non-pilots and they said, we're going to train you how to fly. It's a difficult, you know, I'm just asking for your opinion, Chris, here, but do you think that given the shortage of cybersecurity people, specifically on the engineering and the really technical side, do you think that there is an argument to be made for upskilling or taking non-technical people or non-security people and saying in a managed services environment, we're going to train you? I know this is not what you were trained in school or what your experience has been, but we're going to train you to do this. It almost feels like we're at that point now, but what's your thought on that?
I'm a huge proponent of learning by doing, right? And I think, like we've talked about, you know, throughout this session today, is you really get that hands-on experience while working at MSP. So from in terms of being able to learn as fast as possible and grow as fast as possible, you know, MSP environment is probably one of the best ones you could get into as an entry-level security or IT engineer, right? I also teach for University of Texas. So I teach a cybersecurity bootcamp. And many of my students there are looking for a second career moving into cybersecurity. And I've seen, you know, even after the first 3 or 4 weeks, you can kind of see that folks are starting to learn extremely quickly, even if they haven't been in that security space. But a lot of times they have, you know, similar tangible skills that help them be successful once they learn that technical piece, right? So having that intuition, being able to do risk assessment, like just general having good intuition on where you should be looking at, or having an attacker's mindset, things like that. And just hard, strong work ethic. I think that, you know, technical skills and technical pieces can always be taught to the right motivated people. And that's very present in a lot of the classes that I've taught, is that the folks that are very motivated at the end of the day are definitely folks that I would hire internally and have hired in the past. So I entirely, you know, think that we kind of are in that space. I think that there's, you know, a lot of schooling or a lot of experience you might get from watching YouTube videos is great, but unless you have that hands-on experience, it's just there's really no replacement for it, right? There's just really no replacement for experience if you can say that I have actually dealt with this in an environment. I think a lot of people talk about doing incident response, but you don't really know how to respond to an incident until you've actually gone through one. So I think that really having bringing in people from the outside area and bringing them internally to MSP and kind of being able to learn and develop there. I've seen a lot of folks really, really take off and do well in that space.
So I got to ask you, since you mentioned you're an educator, so you don't have to name any people by name, but in your experience as an educator, are you seeing your students, do they understand the difference between what they're learning in the classroom and the fact that there's a whole wide world out there, a scary world of experience that they need to get before they can really start to achieve the value to whoever they work for, but also, you know, kind of their earning potential. Do they get that?
I think initially they don't, to be honest.
But, I was afraid you'd say that.
Yeah, I think initially some folks see that there's all these jobs available for security jobs. And then all I have to do is go through this boot camp and then I'll be able to just get a six-figure job right when I'm done. And I make it kind of a point when I'm doing my education is that, like, you know, education is a side gig for me. My day-to-day job is running security and IT for Automox.
Yeah.
And it's really that it's there is no replacement for experience. And I think that's one of the things that I bring to the table from an educator standpoint is that I can give them examples of what happens in the world. I can kind of open their eyes to the things that they may have read about, but they don't think it's maybe really true, or maybe they, you know, kind of have this idea of what security is in their head because of maybe they're reading different, you know, publications out there. And like, I can just get a job in this space because they're just hiring like crazy, right? There's all these open vacancies. I can just get a job. But when you're in my class or being able to talk from my experience, it's really very eye-opening that there is, you know, it's ransomware is a pretty big deal. Being able to get into an incident response is not so much of just responding to an alert that you get within a security tool. There's a ton of factors that play into it in terms of being able to, you know, keep a level head, being able to make sure you have practiced your run books, being able to make sure that you have a plan in place that these things have been practiced and be able to respond as quickly as possible, because every minute when you're working an incident, if it's a legitimate incident, can equate to millions of dollars for your organization, right? So I think they typically have a general idea of what security is. But, you know, once we're done with that boot camp of all the examples I've given, a lot of people's eyes are pretty open and realize that it's very vast and it can be scary to an extent.
Yeah. One last question about, you know, students coming out of these schools. Do you think that are they aware of the MSP profession, or is their view of cybersecurity or technology just the end user? That's just always been something that's curious to me.
To be honest, I don't think that it has really been on top of mind for a lot of individuals for working for MSP. A lot of folks, when I see or ask them about what they want to look for from a job standpoint, a lot of times they're looking, say, I want to work for, you know, a FANG company, or I want to work for, you know, maybe they're looking to get in cybersecurity so they can transition to a job at a company that they're already working for. Mm-hmm. But I really think that, you know, MSPs are really a great way to get just general experience, not just from just a hands-on experience, but you also meet a lot of people, right? Working with a lot of different vendors, and networking is also incredibly important for job seekers and trying to find positions and things like that. So I would say it's not top of mind. A lot of the folks that have come out of my class haven't said that they're targeting the MSP space, but it's definitely something that I would recommend. And if you're MSP listening, you're looking to get some talented folks, you know, out of school, that's definitely where I would start, going to some universities that have, you know, very strong cybersecurity programs and recruiting them out of school. I know that's something that we did a lot. When I worked in the past at Cylance, we had a lot of threat researchers that we brought straight out of school. They went through some rigorous training, but they ended up being some of the most talented folks we had there. So I think that it's definitely a space that MSPs can tap into.
Don't be surprised if you start getting, you know, some emails to Professor Haas saying, "Hey, I saw you send me any students you have who are graduating."
For sure. Yeah. Absolutely.
So I kind of want to, you know, kind of wrap up in the few remaining minutes here, just talking about what can MSPs do to, you know, kind of deal with the next 12, 24 months and beyond? Because I don't think, honestly, this is going to get solved immediately or completely in the near term. This is going to be a long battle because the pacing of the, like I've heard from some credible sources that the recruiting on the opposite side, right, on the cyber criminal side is phenomenal. It's effective. It's very lucrative for them, and they're doing a really good job of scaling, and we have to match. And we've never been challenged like this as a profession before. Where would you, you know, what's kind of some parting comments or tips that you would give to MSPs to say that this is maybe what you ought to be looking to do in the next 12, 24 months to solve your skills and people gap?
Yeah, I mean, I think to solve the people gap, you know, cybersecurity and IT individuals are highly sought after, right? So one, I think you have to really bring a solid work-life kind of balance. You have to have a lot of good benefits to enable or to bring those highly talented folks in. And you have to be willing to pay those folks what they need to be paid, right? I think that's one thing that we have to make sure that we have a realistic mindset that we have to pay the folks the value that they bring. So trying to make sure that you come in realistic with a realistic expectation of what it will cost to bring people on internally. I think that's really important. In the last year and a half, I've grown my team from a team of 3 of IT and security folks to a team of 18. So I've hired a lot of folks. And one of the biggest benefits that I had or one of the things that came up time and time again with the folks that I hired on why you chose AutoMox over other organizations that may have been around for a longer time that paid more money. And that was simply, mission and culture. I really pushed to make sure that, they understood what they were going to be doing from day one, what we're driving towards, and then reassuring them that they were going to be able to work on things that they felt that were important, right? So that's one thing that MSPs can really take going forward is just selling the complexity. I think some folks will think that they will be able to, it might scare some people off by telling them that you're going to be challenged. And if that's the case, you may not want to hire those folks, right? You want to hire people that are challenged from a day-to-day standpoint, that are going to work hard, that are going to up-level their skills. And I think really being able to sell that you're going to be able to see all kinds of different things while working for MSP will actually really attract those folks that are trying to, really take their skills to the next level or are really highly motivated and be able to get in the space.
That's really good advice, Chris. Yeah, I mean, I think the MSPs have that complexity in abundance, right? It's never going to be a dull moment. I mean, I don't know an MSP who is just doing the same thing over and over again every day. They're doing a lot of different things. They may have a lot of repeatable process. Most of them do, the good ones. And I think that does speak to the complexity and the diversity and the just the variety of working for an MSP is exciting. I mean, I think so. I it's kept me interested for 22 years, just watching the MSPs do their amazing work. But
yeah, absolutely.
So if I know we didn't talk a lot about what, we talked a little bit about what you guys do at AutoMox, but for people who want to engage with you, maybe they want to talk to you about your teaching or talk to you more about what you guys do on the AutoMox and the patching side. What's the best way for people to reach out and engage with you guys?
You can always find us on LinkedIn. You can reach out to any of our contact aliases on AutoMox.com. Or reach out into any of our Twitter handle on Twitter and things like that. I think that's, if you have any questions or anything about building, a program from the bottom up, that's one thing I love to do. It's one thing that we've done here at AutoMox. I think we've done it extremely well. And it's trying to, automate as much as we possibly can to be able to free up those folks to up-level their skills, right? That's one of the core missions at AutoMox is automate everything, right? And we can do that with our platform, automate as many tier one tasks, as many mundane tasks and things that folks don't want to do from a day-to-day standpoint that really allow them to gain those valuable skills that we have talked about for the last, half an hour or so about how we need to up-level skills. AutoMox can really help remove that burden or that IT and security burden to allow them to have the time to work on more important tasks. So you can always find us on LinkedIn or Twitter, or you can reach out to me directly at chris.haas@automox.com.
Yeah, and that's 1A, two S's.
Yes.
Right. Got it. All right.
1A, two S's. Yeah.
I think a lot of MSPs might just want to talk to you because, you know, going from a staff of 3 to 18 in a relatively short period of time is is an achievement, is a goal for a lot of MSPs. And maybe not that precise number, but just any growth to keep up with their MSP growth is really important and top of mind for MSPs. Mm-hmm. So I encourage you, if you guys want to talk to Chris and just pick his brain, I'm assuming, Chris, you wouldn't mind talking to some MSPs about that.
Yeah, I'd love to.
Yeah. Well, go check out Automox on the web and engage with those guys. Check out their technology. But Chris, I really just appreciate your kind of candor and talking about this this issue. It's an important issue. We're going to keep talking about it here because it needs to be solved, and we're going to talk about it until we start to see, you know, movement. And we are. I think we are seeing some movement on the plus side to MSPs, but we need more of it. And so I very much appreciate your perspective.
Absolutely, Charles. Love to do it again.
Absolutely. Well, go check out Automox on the web, and hope you enjoyed this conversation and, you know, give you some perspective and maybe some helpful tips on how you can continue to grow your team and shrink that skills and people gap. Go for it. Until next time.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed today's episode, please give us a like. Make sure you're subscribed to the podcast so you'll get notified when future episodes are released. We will see you next time in the MSP Zone.